Welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast with your hosts, Tony Castelnova from DisneyByTheNumbers.com and Krista Joy from DisneyWays.com. Keep your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the podcast at all times and get ready for the Disney Parks Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. We have on the line for you today the co-author of Dining at Walt Disney World, The Definitive Guide. He's a dining guru and now a Florida local with hundreds of theme park visits under his belt. He also owns and operates DisneyDining.com, which has become one of the largest official, unofficial fan sites and Facebook communities online. Rick Killingsworth, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you guys so much for having me. It's such a pleasure.
We're excited to have you. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah. Rick, this is the biggest, thickest dining book in my Disney book collection. It's like one of the things I collect is books. I don't know why. Probably because I find them interesting. But this thing is huge. It's massive. So I don't know how long it took you to get to this, but... it's really the definitive guide,
and thank you.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, so, we started out thinking the book was going to be 250 pages, and it ended up being 350 pages after trimming back a bunch of stuff out of it already. So yeah, we've spent a lot of time on it. So thank you for that.
Yeah. So tell people, give us like a brief description. What would you, if you had to tell somebody in an elevator about the book, what would you tell them?
We've tried to just cover Disney dining from soup to nuts, no puns intended. And it's got tips and tricks to make the most of your dining experience. One of the things that, there are three big expenses and things that you have to figure out, when you're going to Disney. You have to figure out where you're going to stay. You have to figure out, what parks you're going to go into and what tickets you like. And dining is the third big one. If you get those three right, you're probably going to have a pretty good vacation. The dining one, I think, is probably the most overlooked one. People concentrate a lot on the resorts, a lot on the tickets and theme parks, but they don't think as much about the dining, and it can, what could be a really good experience turns out to be a more confusing one than they thought. Yeah. So we wanted to write a book that made that, part of your vacation a much better experience.
Yeah. I would think that this is good for a first timer or even a seasoned person that's been down, every year.
I'll tell you that I've, as Krista said earlier, I've been about 100 times. Writing the book, we learned a lot. Things that I didn't know. And, there are 300 different places you can eat on Disney property. And, that's more than many, medium-sized cities have in them. So there's a lot to learn. And one of the things we hear from even seasoned, Disney veterans is that they found some places they hadn't heard of and, decided to experience some different things and some restaurants that they had not tried. So.
That's always fun when you know that you've impacted somebody's vacation like that. It's very rewarding.
Well, it is. And I know you guys, because of your blogs and stuff, you've experienced this. But I was in the parks the other day and was working on my computer. And I have a little logo for our website on the computer. And I closed it up and, was walking away. And somebody came up to me and said, "Hey, I'm sorry to bother you. Are you with Disney Dining?" And I said, "Yeah, I own the site. We started there about 3 years ago." And he said, "I just want to thank you. My wife and I used your website to plan our whole vacation. And it made our vacation so much more enjoyable." And I almost cried.
I know. That's awesome.
I told my friend that was with me, my heart grew three sizes that day. So it's always, it's so, so rewarding to have someone come up to you and tell you how much they've enjoyed the work that you guys have done. So
makes it all worthwhile.
It's always better in person, too, rather than, some comment on a Facebook or a blog or something.
No doubt. I agree.
Yeah.
So, Rick, in everything that you tried, I'm just curious, can you think of any snacks off the top of your head that you think maybe could use some improvement or makeover?
The Orange Bird drink that everybody talks so much about, I'm not a fan for some reason. That one doesn't do anything for me. And I think the turkey, this is the turkey leg is hit and miss. When I say hit and miss, mm-hmm. you either love it or you hate it. It tastes like ham to me, but I'm not a big fan of the turkey leg. I think that's the one thing that I personally kind of feels overrated, but I know to each his own. Some people love those and swear by them, but the turkey leg is the one that I think I'm not a big fan of personally.
Yeah, me neither. I find it very salty. And I think everybody looks like Fred Flintstone walking around the park.
And yeah, they're messy. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, they are messy. So if someone needs to, you know, step out of their comfort zone and try something they've never tried before, what would you tell them? Hey, you know, this sounds crazy, but you're really going to like it.
Boy, that's a great question. I think the one that surprised me the most that I didn't think I would like, not just this particular dish, but the restaurant in general. It was, as many times as I had been to Disney, I'd never tried this restaurant, and it's the Yak and Yeti restaurant in Animal Kingdom. Really, really fantastic food, but they have a breaded fried green beans that I think you ought to try. It's a little odd sounding, but they're just delicious. And the restaurant itself, very eclectic, you know, interior, you know, the decorations on it, lots of different Asian dishes, great view. If you can get upstairs, sitting and looking at all the, I think probably most everybody likes to people watch. It's a great place to sit up and, you know, watch all the different people coming through Animal Kingdom. You have a great view there. And so that's one dish that was surprisingly good for me.
Yeah,
I agree. I love Yak and Yeti. I love the lettuce wraps there too.
Oh, they're
really
great.
Good. Yeah, great stuff. Now, in the book, because I know we have some listeners with special needs, is there any information for special dietary needs, diabetes, allergies, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, we, you know, Paula, my co-writer on the book, is a vegetarian, and she's really into not just you know, special needs dining, but also different, you know, eating healthy and ways to eat healthy. So there's a lot of that in the book, different allergies. And you know, my wife is, I want to say recently, the last 3 years, has determined that she had a thyroid condition that was causing her a lot of sinus problems her whole life. And they finally diagnosed it and said, you just need to be gluten-free. And so she started being gluten-free 3 years ago. And so I wasn't as familiar personally with those different, you know, dietary restrictions and things. Amazing experience when you go to Disney. There are a lot of restaurants in general, and some even upscale, that if you need to order gluten-free or different, you know, different dietary, different allergies and things like that, you're a little concerned whether they know what they're doing. Forget about any theme park probably other than Disney. You know, if you go in some theme parks and say, I would like do you have a gluten-free menu? They'll probably say, what are you talking about? What does that mean? Disney sends the chefs out. They're very cautious about allergies and just really fantastic about, you know, serving special needs. And so there's a whole chapter in the book on that that I think will help people out if they have any. And I'm also surprised constantly by how many people do have special diet needs. There's a lot more than I realized.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems to be a growing trend.
Yeah, it definitely is. And it's nice when the chef comes out, because I think that's you know, a nicer touch than, you know, the server trying to, you know, do battle with you of, you know, trying to understand your allergy or your food needs. You know, at least the chef knows what's in, you know, each dish and can say, hey, you know, this is probably not good for you and this is probably better for you.
Yeah, no doubt. It's kind of amazing. I mean, they take it really seriously.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah.
You know, and they should, because you know, some of these allergies, you know, people have
life
to.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. It's always nice to see the chef out on the, you know, dining area, walking around, talking to people.
It sure is. Yeah.
Okay, you know, this is a battle that everybody does. I think we've had this conversation on this podcast a gazillion times. So, should somebody do a refillable mug, or should they not do the refillable mug?
Boy, it's one of the greatest. It's one of the great concert controversies, isn't it, guys? Yeah. There are those that absolutely swear by them, and those that, you know, say that they're a complete waste of money. I think it has to be a personal decision. For me and my family, you know, my son's 15, or I both drink Diet Coke. I will sit down at a meal and drink five Diet Cokes, you know, and so will he. And so for somebody like me, it's a great value if you're going to be spending any time at all in the food court, you know, of the restaurant or hotel that you're staying in. It's a great value. You know, of course, you can do the hot beverages, cold beverages, etc. There was a, you know, a big stink when Disney put the timers in. And, you know, of course, there's a big stink when Disney changes almost anything. but, you know, the fans are very loyal, and some of which are very traditionalist, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm a fan of them. I think it depends on your family. Are you going to get, it's pretty easy to back into the math to see if you, you know, how many drinks you would buy. And, you know, for most folks, if you're going to be spending any time at the resort, it's probably a pretty good value. I don't think you'll lose any money on it. Krista, what are your thoughts on that? I'm curious.
Well, personally, I mean, I don't think it'll, like a park refillable mug will probably never happen. Yeah. But I personally, you were saying how some people get upset about changes. I really was annoyed by the whole rapid fill thing that went on.
Yeah.
I just thought that was just so wrong. And, I mean, there's people that believe that Coke maybe pays Disney even to have their products in the parks. So were they really losing that much money, you know, with the regular normal refillable mugs? I don't know, but I guess business is business. They got to do what they got to do.
Yeah, and there's rumors that a lot of those refillable things have been turned off just because of complaints and things. We'll see whether that's actually true or not.
But. Well, I hope so.
Yeah. You know, the thing is, if you're going to spend uger amount of time at your resort, you know, close to the Coke machine, the mug pays for itself. If you're going to be in the park from open to close and then out to dinner later than that, or you know, not be back till 2 o'clock in the morning or whatever, the mug is, you know, futile. I mean, what are you going to get? Your coffee in the morning, and then what?
Maybe one soda at night or something.
Yeah, exactly. So if we're drinking two drinks per day, that's, you know, it's not worth it. But
and we find that the more often, of course, now we own a place in Florida, but we were always staying off property these days, to say the least. But we did find that the more often we went to Disney, the more time we spent at the resorts. You know, our first couple of trips to Disney, we were, you know, up at the crack of dawn and back at dark 30.
Right.
So it certainly wouldn't have been worth it at that time. But, you know, I think, you know, you start to relax a little bit the more you go, and the more you don't feel like you're going to miss anything. You've seen a lot of things, and you can probably actually slow down and enjoy the experience a little more. And when we did that, we found we spent a little more time at the resorts and enjoyed them.
Yeah, and I totally agree with you. I think it's based on the family and what you personally need, because, you know, there's a perfect example. If you're not here as much, then maybe you won't need a refillable mug as often, but it just depends on where you're at and your personal needs.
And I think for DVC people, it's probably, don't even think about it, because you're probably going to be spending time in your resort, and you already have a refrigerator that you can fill with whatever you want to drink, and it doesn't have to be a Coke product. But I would love to see those mugs at least be used in the quick service places. I think they would A, sell way more of them, because people would definitely carry the mug to the park. You know, they carry backpacks and stuff today as it is. So what's another mug? You know.
That would be fabulous. And of course, as we all, you know, it's the dirty little secret is the cost of the product for the theme park is, you know, less than a penny a cup, probably.
Oh, yeah.
Right. For the last time I heard from somebody in the restaurant business, the paper cup cost more than the soda that went in it. So that would be lovely.
And people like the mugs, though. I mean, they take them home. They drink their coffee out of them on their way to work every day. And I mean, there's a whole aspect of it too. Some people just like to collect them or whatever. So it would kind of give them they should have more variety, I think, for people. They're all kind of the same everywhere you go.
Yeah, now they are. They've gone to a uniform cup. It used to be, you know, the resorts would have the logos of the resorts on them, and I felt like they were a little more collectible back then.
Yep. So. Yeah, that'd be cool if they went back to that. Okay, so we really went off topic, but let's see, where were we? Oh, Rick, now you said you learned a couple of new things as you were writing the book, and we all feel like we're Disney experts, so we love learning new things. Can you share a couple of things that, you know, maybe surprised you a little bit?
Yeah, a couple of them were how good, and I actually did some research personally on this one, the Splitsville menu is. That restaurant is gourmet. I just love that place. It's surprising. They have five or six different bars on two levels, sushi, pizza, you know, you name it, they've got it. And it's all gourmet. I mean, it's not your typical bowling alley fare. That one was really pleasantly surprising to me. That's one of the places that we probably try to go almost on every trip. It's a great place to hang out, too. It's fun, just a fun atmosphere. The other big surprising thing was I didn't know that there was a restaurant on Disney property that was open 24 hours a day. I didn't know that existed. And the Peekaboo restaurant located inside the Dolphin is open 24 hours a day. To my knowledge, it's the only one. And so if you ever need a midnight snack,
I didn't know that.
Yep. Yeah,
Captain Cook's used to be open 24 hours until they recently rehabbed it, and now it's closed at 10 or 11 o'clock at night or something now. Yeah, you used to be able to get a Dole Whip 24 hours a day.
Oh, the good old days, as I call them.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so what's your favorite place to dine, Rick? All right, give us this. Give us your favorite, like, sit-down and favorite quick service.
Okay, so favorite sit-down, you know, when we've now had a place in Disney since 2000, in Florida, since 2009. So what I found myself doing a little more of once I was a local was I found myself doing more of the resorts and a little bit less of the theme parks. If you want to just, you know, one of the things great about being a local is you can just go to Disney to eat. It's such a cool place just to go for dinner or for lunch. And so I found myself gravitating a little more towards those restaurants that weren't in the theme park. Love the theme park restaurants. Don't get me wrong, but they're going to add about 60 to 90 minutes, you know, to your journey if you have to get in and out of the theme park and take the transportation, et cetera. I love Raglan Road. I love Paradiso because of that. They're easy to get to and they're great restaurants. But my favorite has to be Ohana's for dinner. It's just a fantastic experience. Unbelievable service. The food is fantastic. So that's my favorite sit down. For the quick service, I think I have to cheat a little bit in my answer, and that is I love the Tune In Lounge in Hollywood Studios. You would argue maybe that's not quick service, but that place has a special place in my heart. It's semi-full service because you can order from the entire 50s primetime menu, but you don't need a reservation. You can walk up. They're super fast. I mean, you get your food there in minutes. It's almost like, you know, as quick as any quick service. You don't need a reservation, as I said. And plus, they have some of the best bartenders in Disney. They've got two friends named David and Julie and Christian are there. And it's just a fun place to hang out. And one that not many people really even know about.
Yeah, very true. And you're right about being a local. Once you're a local, I find myself rarely going into the parks to eat anymore. There's plenty of restaurants in the resorts. And even for a quick service, you know, some of them now, I can't think of the name, but the one at the Grand Floridian has some pretty decent quick service food. It's not that bad.
No, it really does. And I'll just throw in for breakfast, you know, you got to love the Kona Cafe.
Yes.
It's just as good a breakfast probably as I've had anywhere. So.
Kona Press Pot.
Mm-mm. Yep. So good. Yeah. And they've got the Tonga Toast, of course, and they've got my favorites there is the called the Samoan. It's a poached eggs over holiday sauce with, so I think it's pulled pork over it. That's
we have similar tastes, I can tell.
Delicious. Oh, my gosh.
It's my favorite thing.
You know, at Kona Cafe and, you know, at any great restaurant like that, when you take a bite and you roll your eyes, you know you've got something great.
That's so true. That Samoa is the best. And I, you know, I think, oh, I'll get something different this time. No. Every time I go, I get that's my favorite.
I do the same thing. my son gets the Tonga Toast so I can have a bite, though. So.
Yeah, a little dessert for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Good. So what's your best, like, cost-effective snack tip as far as using the dining plan? Have you found any really good bargains on the snack credits?
You know, that's a great question. I got to confess to you that I've only used the Disney dining plan one time. And so, because by the time I was aware of it and we had a place there. So I'm not the snack expert on the Disney dining plan. I'd love to throw that one back to you guys and get your feedback on it. Obviously, one of the big controversy is the turkey leg is no longer, or maybe it never was, I'm not sure, but it's a controversy because some people think it's on the snack plan and it's not. It's actually a quick service meal. It's not a snack. So I tend to lean towards ice cream is always the best snack for me in any way, shape, or form. So
yeah,
I like that answer.
Good Mickey bar fills that snack credit perfectly.
Yep.
What else, Tony? Do you have any other favorite ones on the list? I know that during Food and Wine, a lot of those count as snack credits. So I know that's a really big deal for people. And I think maybe the pork shank at Gaston's might even be a snack credit. So, but I'm with you, Rick. I mean, we're local, so I mean, we don't use the dining plan very often, but I know that's something that people want to know about. So
yeah, I think you're dead on the Food and Wine and even the Flower and Garden, the food booths that they've set up there. Those are definitely a great use for a snack credit, I think.
Yeah, and don't waste them on drinks either. I know you can use them. Yeah.
Yep.
I never used the dining plan when I came down with my family. It didn't seem to fit. Even my kids, would have rather have gone to a sit-down restaurant rather than going to quick service. And back at that time, there really wasn't a good option for that. You know, if we went to California Grill, we'd have to use 2-3 credits at the time, I think.
Yep.
For a meal like that. And it just didn't seem, to fit our family. Some people nowadays, love it, especially when it's free with their, vacation package, because now that's one other thing they know is paid for that they don't have to worry about, saving money or whatever.
I think you hit on what people find so attractive about the Disney dining plan. And I found it true on a cruise vacation. And that is, you sit down and you truly do sit down without looking at prices and order whatever you think you want. It's at the end of the day, it's prepaid, right? But you order whatever you want, regardless of price. You don't look at the steak and go, I really want the steak, but it's $29.
Right.
There's that pressure every time you sit down to eat to try to keep it, under a certain budget or something like that. And it removes that pressure. It removes the pressure of wondering, can I afford this or do I, what's the bill going to be like at the end of my vacation? And so I think that's what people find so attractive about the Disney dining plan.
Yeah. And if you don't do the Disney dining plan, then I'll tell you to go get Tables in Wonderland. At least you're saving something.
My favorite tip, ironically, about Tables in Wonderland that I didn't know until about 8 months ago is that you can, if you buy anything on the Tables in Wonderland card, you get free valet parking at any of the resorts.
Yes.
And so that's a fantastic, I am now an official, I will stop and get a snack or get a drink at ESPN Zone and use my dining, my Tables in Wonderland card just so I can get the $20 parking for free. So it's a fantastic, it's also true of Downtown Disney.
Yep.
As long as you use the Tables in Wonderland card, you get free valet parking, which at Downtown Disney these days is a pretty big deal.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
People go, well, it's really only 2% because, you're getting a 20% savings and then putting 18% on. But, now you're getting $20 free with valet parking. So,
well, and I we always tip probably in that neighborhood anyway. So, I would have tipped that amount as long as I get service, of course, anyway. So that 20%. And the other great thing about the Tables in Wonderland card, Tony, and Chris, as you know, is you don't get, it's the only card that you get 20% off of alcohol as well. So it's not just food. It's 20% off of your entire meal, including any alcohol you purchase. And that can really add up.
At Disney, it definitely does.
Yeah. I mean, not for me, but for other people. I'm teasing, of course.
Hey, there are some drinks that probably cost more than an appetizer at Disney. So.
That's absolutely true, yeah.
We were talking about snacks earlier, so... what would you consider the most decadent snack or meal?
The Dole Whip is my favorite. I just can't not eat those. I think they're good for breakfast and lunch and dinner, and I just love the. I particularly like the Dole Whip Float, and I like the pineapple one. It's just, for me, it's not anything. It's also not anything that I'm able to get that I know of, at least anywhere else.
You know, that's
it's
a good point.
It's a snack that you eat that, you know. I mean, the Mickey bar is great because it's shaped like Mickey, but you can get that sort of a bar anywhere. I just love the Dole Whip Float.
It's a little special and kind of you feel like you're getting something exclusive at Disney World. And also the school bread, too, right? How do you feel about school bread in Norway? Do you like that?
You know what? I like it okay. It wouldn't be my favorite. It's very, like you said, very unique. It's not like anything you can get anywhere else. So I do like it for that. It wouldn't be my favorite, but a lot of people love it. Just love it.
Totally. So this might be a repeat question because you told us your favorite restaurants, but what do you think the next meal is going to be the next time you visit Disney World?
You know, I'm hoping it's going to be one of the new places, maybe the Boathouse restaurant in downtown Disney. They're really expanding the restaurants, obviously, down in that area, and looks like they're going to do some fantastic. The early reporting is that they're going to double the number of restaurants down there and the number of shops when this whole Disney Springs thing is done. So that might be a place that I'll be hanging out for some new meals for a while.
I'm excited about the Marimoto restaurant.
That, refresh my memory. I think he's the Iron Chef guy, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy cool. That's I love it when Disney gets the celebrity chefs and things to do things. It's a great experience.
Yeah. Well, they threw a cat course, so they had to bring in a different Iron Chef.
I know, right?
Sorry, cat.
Yeah. Due respect.
Easy come, easy go. Didn't want to sign a lease. We'll find some other Iron Chef.
Exactly.
Okay. Ricky, working on any other, new projects or books that you want to tell everybody about?
You know, we are working on a book that I can't tell you about. It's top secret. But we've got one other book that's not dining related that we're working on right now. And we've got one more. We've got two websites now. We've got Disney Dining, which is about a little over 3 years old now. About a little over a year ago, we launched a website called DisneyQuestions.com. And that is a website that's just what you would think it would be. And that is people email us their questions. We have a team of about 10 different writers that answer the questions. And they're experts, but a lot of the questions are tough. I mean, they have to do a lot of research to even answer them. And we, in less than a year, have answered about 4,500 Disney theme park, Disney, primarily Disney World, but some Disney land and some Disneyland Paris and some other ones. But we've answered, like I said, over 4,500 questions. And I've learned, my daughter helps me with that website. She's learned so much about Disney. Nothing like posting 4,500 questions and answers to teach you a few things about the theme park. So that site's done really well. The whole experience, guys, I'm so humbled by it and so grateful. This was started. My son and I were sitting on the deck of a camper that we owned in Virginia, and we're just one day talking about starting a website. And what if we did one on Disney? What if we did one on Disney and it was dining? And we started sketching out logos and thinking about what the navigation on the site would be. And to be able to, he was 13 at the time. He's almost 16 now. To be able to kind of build this thing with my son and I together doing it, and to see how well it's done, we never dreamed it would do. We never dreamed we'd actually get a book written, and we never dreamed it would do as well as, between the two sites, we have almost 1 million Facebook fans now. And so it's been so fun and so gratifying and humbling to see it grow the way it's grown.
Yeah, I would think that your questions website, I'm probably guessing and assuming, that it's bombarded with FastPass, My Experience, Magic Band type questions. I would think it's probably a majority of it.
It's flooded. Yeah. It's flooded with that. Yeah, yeah. It really is. And of course, we get a ton of questions about the different resorts and, some really detailed questions like are the magic bands, my daughter's allergic to plastic. Are they safe? Are magic bands safe? And if somebody's allergic to plastic. So, we get some really some really detailed questions, and there are a few of them, like that one, for example, that we really are afraid to answer. You know, we just say, yeah, you really ought to contact Disney directly on this one, because I don't want to be responsible for somebody dying from a plastic allergy for a magic band.
So. Tell them to get the card.
Yeah, that's
which is plastic, unfortunately, but at least you're not touching it with on your wrist all day.
Yeah, but you know, lately a lot of FastPass, as you'd imagine, questions that system's rolled out. I give Disney a lot of credit for adjusting relatively quickly on the FastPass stuff, but boy, when it first started, it was the FastPass Plus was a real sore spot for people.
I don't think it's very for a first timer. The whole thing is unexplained and, you know, very overwhelming. It's like, you know, if you've never been here and know nothing about, you know, a band or FastPass or any of those things, I don't know how you get up to speed quick enough. I really don't. And still enjoy your vacation. There should be like a website with some videos or something.
It's super complicated.
Yeah.
What other vacation do you have to, you know, go 90 days out and pick what you're going to ride, what time of day, you know?
Yeah.
And it's super complicated. So it has required, and a lot of people don't like this, I understand. They want more spontaneity. But these days, if you're going to go during a busy time, you know, during a crowded time, you better have done your research. You better really have studied what you want to ride, and you better do the... You want spontaneity all day long, that's great. Your spontaneity is going to cost you 120 minutes at the at certain rides. You better pick wisely and do your research these days.
Yeah. It'll be 3 hours at Toy Story Mania and about 2 hours on the Mine Train.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, Rick, so tell everybody where they can get your book and what kind of format you have it in and all that kind of good stuff.
Super. Love to. It's available on Amazon.com, and you can buy it in either the Kindle version or paperback version. If you're on Amazon, obviously, if you buy it on Kindle, you can download it immediately. If you're an Amazon Prime member, you can usually have it, and they say 48 hours. Sometimes they get it out a little quicker than that. So it's something you can have sent to you for free shipping if you're an Amazon Prime member, which I highly recommend, by the way. If you're ordering very many books or watching very many videos or anything, Amazon Prime, and Prime is awesome. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, those are the two formats that you can get it in today. And it's Amazon sets the price on their website. It's the Kindle version is $9.95, and the last I looked, the paperback version was 17 and a quarter ish. They change it every now and then. Again, Amazon sets that price based on, you know, their algorithms, etc.
Yeah, they have a very interesting way of pricing things, because you can go there one day and it'll be 17, and then 2 days later it might be 19, and then it's down to 15. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is. It's and I'm sure, you know, they're smart folks.
I'm
sure they figured out they do that for a reason. So,
yeah.
But that's why it's hard to exactly quote what the price is. It changes a bit.
Yeah. Well, we just want to thank you so much for this wonderful service that you're doing to for the Disney community. You've got DisneyDining.com is huge and helpful to so many. DisneyQuestions.com. And then there's another site too, right, Rick, that I'm forgetting?
We have DisneyDiningPlan.com as well. Yeah.
Disney Dining Plan. Yes. So many great resources and now the book's coming out. So just thank you so much for all you're doing for everybody. We're just super excited to share, and thanks for coming on the show and telling us about everything.
Well, it's an honor. Thank you guys for the podcast that you do, and for the Disney by the Numbers and Disney Ways websites. I'm a huge fan of both of those sites, and just love to follow. You guys are just everything you do with excellence. Just thank you so much for having me on today.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the parks.
The Disney Parks Podcast is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company. All Disney parks, attractions, lands, shows, event names, etc. are registered trademarks of the Walt Disney Company.
Like a boat out of the blue, fate steps in and sees you.